Laudato Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
Today, Thursday, February 27th, is the feast of St. Gregory of Narik, Doctor of the Church. And these are today's headlines. Pope Francis is in good spirits as he continues treatment for pneumonia in Rome's Gemelli Hospital. UNICEF warns of grave violations of children's rights in the Democratic Republic of Congo. And the UN's Office for Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs calls for urgent action to address the crisis in Sudan. In the Vatican, I'm Christopher Wells. The Holy See Press Office said this morning that Pope Francis slept well and spent the first part of the morning resting. After he woke up and had breakfast, the Pope continued his prescribed treatment and had a few more tests. He's also continuing to receive oxygen. The Pope has been sitting up and has been told about the many prayers being offered for his recovery and is reportedly in good spirits. The press office also announced that the Jubilee audience, tentatively scheduled for this coming Saturday, has been canceled. On Wednesday evening, the press office said the Pope's health condition had slightly improved over the previous 24 hours. The mild kidney insufficiency observed in recent days has subsided, the statement read. A chest CT scan carried out on Tuesday night showed a normal progression of the lung inflammation, while blood tests conducted on Wednesday confirmed the improvement that had been seen. According to the Holy See Press Office, the Pope's prognosis remains guarded. Turning now to world news, as the humanitarian crisis in the eastern part of the Democratic Republic of Congo, the DRC, continues to worsen following the new offensive of the M23 rebel group, UNICEF has sounded the alarm over the surge of grave violations against children. According to the UN Children's Fund, recent reports highlight that the number of incidents has tripled in just 1 month, signaling an urgent need for international attention and intervention. Lisa Zangarini has this report.
Among the most distressing developments of the latest escalation of violence in the DRC is the sharp increase in the cases of sexual violence, abductions and violent assaults on children. Reports indicate that sexual violence has risen by more than 2.5 times. Abductions have increased 6-fold, while killings and maiming of children have surged 7-fold. Also, attacks on schools and hospitals have escalated at an unprecedented rate, multiplying by 12 times compared to previous levels. UNICEF's acting representative in the DRC has issued a strong appeal to all parties involved in the conflict, urging them to halt these violations immediately. The widespread insecurity has led to the collapse of essential services, leaving thousands of schools closed and many children separated from their families. Furthermore, the breakdown of law enforcement and justice services, combined with the proliferation of weapons and the emptying of prisons, has significantly increased children's vulnerability. Another pressing concern is the reported forced recruitment of children into armed groups, which has been a long-standing issue in the DRC, holding one of the highest global records for child recruitment in conflict. Recognizing the urgent need to protect children affected by the fighting, UNICEF has intensified its efforts to reunite unaccompanied children with their families. Since the latest outbreak of violence, 720 identified unaccompanied children have been reunited. For those whose families cannot be found, UNICEF is placing them in foster care. While urging all parties to adhere to international legal frameworks and protect civilians, the UN agency has stressed the need for accountability, insisting that perpetrators of these crimes must be brought to justice. I am Lisa Zingarini.
Staying in Africa, the United Nations Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs, OCHA, has called for urgent action to address the ongoing humanitarian crisis in Sudan. Nathan Morley has the latest.
Ida Mwosornu of OCHA emphasized the dire need for intervention. She noted that the ongoing conflict between the Sudanese Armed Forces, known as the SAF, and the paramilitary Rapid Support Forces, the RSF, has caused immense suffering. Mwosornu highlighted that over half of the country's population, which is approximately 24.6 million people, are currently experiencing acute hunger. Additionally, more than 12 million people are now displaced, with 3.4 million having fled across the border. The conflict has led to the collapse of the health services, millions of children being out of school, and widespread sexual violence. Mwosornu pointed to alarming developments in North Darfur State, including the Zamzam displacement camp and Khartoum, as well as the southern regions. Despite the adoption of UN Resolution 2739 8 months ago, which demanded the RSF stop besieging the state capital Al-Fasha, civilians in North Darfur remain under attack. Violence in and around Zamzam camp has intensified, with satellite imagery confirming the use of heavy weaponry and the destruction of main market facilities. Hundreds of thousands of civilians are living in the camp under famine conditions. Mwosornu noted that the terrified civilians, including humanitarian workers, are unable to leave the area during the most intense fighting. Many have been killed, including two humanitarian workers. The deteriorating security situation has forced Médecins Sans Frontières, MSF, to halt its operations at the camp. The World Food Programme, the WFP, also suspended its voucher-based food assistance system. Despite the confirmed famine conditions in Zamzam since last August, WFP has managed to transport only one convoy of humanitarian supplies into the camp itself. The UN agency warned that without immediate assistance, thousands could starve in the coming weeks. For Vatican Radio, this is Nathan Morley reporting.
In the Middle East, Israel's military operation in the occupied West Bank has led to the displacement of over 40,000 people and the deaths of about 50. The British NGO Oxfam has warned of the Gazification of the West Bank, as Devin Watkins reports.
Over 40,000 people have been forcibly displaced in the West Bank since Israel ramped up a military operation in the Palestinian territory following a temporary ceasefire that came into effect in Gaza on January 19th. 2 days later, an Israeli attack on Jenin refugee camp killed at least 12 Palestinians and led to the displacement of thousands of people. The camp has been practically deserted and Israeli bulldozers have demolished large areas, reportedly creating wide roadways. In response, Oxfam, a British confederation of independent NGOs, said recently that the displacement is the largest since Israel occupied the Palestinian territory in 1967. The World Health Organization expressed concern about starkly rising attacks on healthcare facilities. Israel alleged that Hamas and other, quote, terror organizations use hospitals and ambulances as tools for terrorist activities. The WHO said the West Bank has seen over 44 attacks on healthcare personnel since the start of the year. Oxfam called the situation a Gazification of the West Bank, warning of a calculated annexation strategy. Violations of human rights and international law are happening in plain sight with impunity as the international community watches on, said Mustafa Tamaize, Oxfam's West Bank response lead. He added that Israel's military operations have made it difficult and dangerous to deliver humanitarian aid and reach communities with their programs. Our staff and partners have reported being denied access or threatened at military checkpoints, and aid deliveries have been blocked, said Mr. Tamaize. Such restrictions have slowed aid efforts and increased operational costs. Due to road closures and checkpoints, aid deliveries that previously took 2 hours now routinely take over 12. West Bank farmers have also been cut off from accessing their farmland. Oxfam says the Israeli army has taken over 1,000 acres of land, alleging the move makes it easy for annexation and settlement expansions. I'm Devin Watkins.
About 750 migrants were aboard a fishing vessel attempting to reach Italy on June 14, 2023, when the ship went down in the early hours of the morning. Fewer than 100 people were rescued, and the UN estimates over 500 others drowned, including women and children trapped in the ship's hold. A group of lawyers is asking for legal scrutiny and possibly an investigation in the case, as leaked audio from rescue coordinators sheds doubt on Greece's official account of the tragedy. Linda Bordoni has this report.
The sinking of the Adriana in 2023 is considered to be one of the Mediterranean's deadliest shipwrecks. 82 bodies were recovered from the wreck, but the United Nations estimates that over 500 others, including 100 women and children trapped in the hull, perished on that fateful June the 14th. Concerns are now being voiced about the integrity of the investigation into the tragedy, with some lawyers and human rights groups alleging a cover-up regarding the role of the Greek Coast Guard. Leaked audio from the Greek rescue coordinators has deepened doubts about Greece's official account, according to which the ship's captain rejected help from an approaching vessel as the migrants' destination was Italy. Survivors, however, say the Greek Coast Guard itself caused the sinking during a botched towing attempt and pressured them to stay silent. While the Coast Guard denies towing the vessel, claiming it didn't intervene because the boat was en route to Italy and not in distress, the records show the Adriana was stationary for 7 hours before capsizing, thus contradicting the official narrative. The Greek islands in the Aegean Sea are a place of landing or passage for many migrants trying to reach Europe. Over the years, there have been many complaints regarding the Greek Coast Guard about forced pushbacks and lack of respect for the dignity and safety of people on the move. I'm Linda Bordoni.
Finally, the discussion of biodiversity and its fundamental role in food security has been the focus of a three-day UN biodiversity conference, COP16, in Rome. After a session in Colombia, delegations from more than 140 countries have gathered together once more to work through topics that are critical for biodiversity action. Sigurd Krab, a representative from the Danish youth delegation, spoke with Vatican Radio about the importance of defining an agreement for the financing and coordination of global species protection and biodiversity.
Well, as everyone else, we have to be flexible on the financial mechanism, which is very difficult to figure out right now. The discussion has really much been about getting a new fund or not getting a new fund, where the EU and the other Western countries are very much against it. And the other position has been that we should get a new fund. But we have to lose up these positions and figure out what are the reasons why some people want a new fund, some they don't. And how can we operationalize those points under it to make it more fair and equitable in the representation in the organs that have to decide on who gets the money, to make sure that there is sufficient funds, to make sure that there's a timeline that also works with the mega diverse countries that need these resources to be able to protect the nature that they're protecting right now.
You represent Denmark's youth. Would you say that you brought your points into your delegation?
I would do so, but it is also very difficult at the point we are currently in the negotiation. As Denmark is a part of the EU and EU coordinate as one block, everything has to be rated at a scale right now, and smaller adjustments can be difficult. So we're trying to pressure on the bigger things, that Denmark and the EU should be flexible, and getting an agreement is vital for the negotiations going forward.
And that's all the time we have for this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, we invite you to visit our Vatican News web portal at www.vaticannews.va. In the Vatican, I'm Christopher Wells.